You know how many people play the game Fortnite Battle Royale? 78 million active players, a quarter billion accounts, which is why we're leading with a Fortnite business story. I'm David Brancaccio. Call it a Battle Royale between Titans. Epic Games, the maker of the wildly popular Fortnite video game, is taking Apple and Google to court. The complaint is over rules where the tech giants get a cut of things players buy within the game. Marketplace's Nova Safo got this assignment today. Nova, the Fortnite makers have filed an antitrust lawsuit against Apple and Google. What's the argument?
Well, Epic Games is arguing that Apple and Google shouldn't be able to force app makers to fork over 15 to 30% of revenues from in-app purchases. The companies make tens of billions of dollars a year doing this, so there's a lot at stake here, David. It goes to the heart of Google's and Apple's business strategy. They want you not just to buy their devices, but to keep you in their ecosystems, to get you to buy stuff in those ecosystems. From the app maker's point of view, this is not a new complaint, including from Epic Games. Its CEO, Tim Sweeney, has publicly criticized Apple over the practice of taking a cut of app revenues, arguing it's monopoly behavior.
But since the issue's been around for years now, why is there a court challenge now?
It looks like Epic Games was engineering a legal fight. It made a direct payments possible on the Fortnite mobile app, allowing players to bypass Google and Apple's payment systems. Predictably, both Apple and Google then removed the game from their app stores for violating their rules. Epic Games then filed a pair of federal antitrust lawsuits seeking injunctions against many of Apple's and Google's app store practices. Its court filings, Epic claims Apple is trying to control markets, and it says Google is engaged in any competitive conduct. Now, Google hasn't commented directly, but says its App Store policies keep things safe for users. Apple says pretty much the same thing and criticized Epic for trying to get a special arrangement for itself.
All right, Marketplace Nova Safo, thank you for that. Now to an economic distortion of coronavirus that helps renters and hurts property owners. According to the real estate firm Douglas Elliman, rental vacancies are the highest on record in some New York City neighborhoods. Also, the cost of renting posted its biggest year-on-year decline in nearly a decade in that city. New York's notoriously pricey rental market is in upheaval. Marketplace's Jasmine Garst reports.
Kat O'Brien rents an apartment in Manhattan, a new place that she found during the pandemic. She's still getting bombarded with ads, mostly for luxury housing.
I've seen 2 months free. The most I saw was one on a 24-month lease, up to 4 months free.
Landlords are having a much more difficult time filling apartments.
Jonathan Miller authored the Elliman report. He says in Manhattan,
that's why vacancy is double what it was a year ago, more than double, and it's the highest that we've tracked in 14 years.
And average rent in Manhattan went down more than 6% from where it was in July 2019. Looking ahead, economist Nancy Wu from the real estate firm Street Easy says,
there's going to be even higher vacancy rates and even more supply coming onto the market. I expect that we will be in here for a long time.
But for now in Manhattan, that still means rents are averaging more than $4,000 a month. I'm Jasmine Garst for Marketplace.
Markets, the FTSE index in London is down more than 2%. The S&P future here is down 0.4%. Dow future is down 0.6%. And here are some numbers. Every quarter, publicly held corporations publish their profits and losses, offer hints about the future, and outline company priorities for the benefit of investors. This is the earnings call, often a big conference call or Zoom-style meeting. For the January to March quarter, 4% of companies discussed diversity and inclusion on their earnings calls. For the April to June quarter, it was 40% of companies addressing equality, diversity, and inclusion. This data from the research arm of RBC Capital Markets. Pro basketball wraps up its interrupted regular season today, and unlike, say, college football, the NBA coronavirus bubble strategy seems to have worked with no positive COVID-19 tests in the last 4 weeks. Marketplace's Andy Euler reports.
The NBA shut down in March after two players on the Utah Jazz tested positive for the coronavirus. The league's commissioner, Adam Silver, told players to ready themselves for tough salary negotiations in the years to come. The league's revenue was going to be hurt by the pandemic. But Nola Aga at the University of San Francisco says, because the NBA and its teams are private businesses, we don't really know how stretched their checkbooks are.
For, I'd say, probably a century, professional leagues and teams have been telling us that they don't have enough money and that they're going to go out of business.
The NBA says the cost to operate the bubble at Walt Disney World in Orlando, where players and coaches eat, sleep, practice, and play games, is more than $150 million. There also aren't any fans there, and 40% of the league's annual revenue comes from the gate, from ticket purchases and in-game spending. David Berry teaches economics at Southern Utah University.
It was important to them that they finish this. They obviously don't have any gate revenue, but they need to finish and get the television revenue.
Because had it not finished the season and canceled the playoffs, the league would not have satisfied a $1 billion TV contract. Broadcasters like ESPN and TNT would have sought something in return. And at a time when people are stuck at home and watching a lot of TV, you'd think the NBA and its sponsors would be seeing massive ratings bumps. But Barry says that's not the case. Ratings are down.
The Knicks are gone, the Bulls are gone, the Warriors are gone, so some of what's driving your ratings is not participating.
And he says, you can't expect Oklahoma City, Milwaukee, and Portland to make up for New York, Chicago, and San Francisco. And in terms of how individual teams are faring financially?
At the team level, I think about it as revenue recovery.
Again, Nola Aga at the University of San Francisco.
They had tickets sold, they had suites sold, they had sponsors signed, they had their local television deals, and it's recovery. It's scrambling. It's what every small business in America is trying to do, which is to figure out, how can I still get some of that revenue?
The NBA playoffs get started on Monday from the bubble in Orlando. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
And I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.